News Radio 690 KTSM presents the second hour of the El Paso History Show with documentary filmmaker Jackson Polk and historian Melissa Sargent, streaming live at ktsmradio.com. Brought to you by ephistory.com, the website for podcasts of this radio show, ephistory.com. And by Amigos Restaurant, 2000 Montana, a block east of Cotton, open 7 days a week with great Mexican food. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. By Monterey Asset Management. And by Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. And now, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
As we normally do in the second hour, we're going to start this hour of the El Paso History Moment with an El Paso History Moment from Melissa Sargent. And she's doing this for the El Paso History Alliance. And today her subject is another brand new piece. Go ahead.
From Cookie to U.S. House of Representatives. To read former El Paso and Claude Hudspeth's biography is like reading an Old West adventure novel. During Hudspeth's lifetime, he represented El Paso as a Texas congressman, Texas senator, district judge, U.S. representative, but he also was an oilman, rancher, newspaper publisher, cowhand, and a chuckwagon cook. Hudspeth even spoke affectionately of his days as a chuckwagon cook in a 1925 book, The Trail Drivers of Texas, by J. Martin Hunter. In my early life, my principal job was a cook in a cow camp, where cowboys will testify, some of them that survived, that I cooked things that nobody could eat. The boss, wishing to promote and also to prevent indigestion among the men, elevated me to the position of horse wrangler. Well, Hudspeth, a well-liked and respected Texas politician, would continue to give indigestion to many in his political life. For example, in 1919, when backing then-Secretary of War Newton Barker's controversial decision to send troops into Juarez against Pancho Villa, Hudspeth publicly referred to then-Mexican President Carranza as that spineless cactus of Mexico. More history next week on El Paso History Moments. I'm Melissa Sargent for the El Paso History Alliance.
I didn't know Bernie could play the steel guitar like that.
Isn't he good?
He's just...
Well, you know, the judge here's got to catch up, though. I mean, you know, he's got a few more years of things to do the same thing that, you know, he did.
Well, we'll get to that in a second here, but you got this History Alliance thing going on here?
Yes, we do. You know, if people get involved, you know, they can get out there with their history. Call Bernie at 915-581-7920 if they have an interest in getting involved in history or they have some history they want to share. You know, get out there and... keep active. We need more people to get involved in history because I can't keep doing it.
You can. You can do some of it. Just do it on Saturday morning. Also, remember in El Paso, WIN is another crowd that we talk about that does a lot of history.
Oh, that's right.
On Facebook. Yes. And we, you know, if you use their stuff, just give them credit for it. They have some great people. Barbara Given Baney's doing that. Nick Prime is also involved in that. That's called Remember in El Paso, WIN. And that is on Facebook. And they also have a moderator named John B. Hogan nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we have a caller online. We'll get to them in just a second. But we need to introduce our second hour guest again. Judge Bill Moody. Do you go by
the one and only
William or Bill? What do you prefer? Mr. Bill? How about that?
Well, it depends.
Who it is?
I've always liked Mr. Bill. But no, Bill is fine. When I'm on the bench, sometimes William sounds a little more judicial. But it makes no difference to me.
Well, in here, you're Bill Moody, the historian guy that we know about, and you quite often have done a number of stories and a number of things, including reenactments about presidential visits.
Oh, yeah.
I find that fascinating.
He does that so well, too.
What that fascinates him about what's that?
Well, what fascinated me was when I was a young boy, about 1960, John F. Kennedy came to El Paso to campaign for president of the United States, and my dad took me to the airport. And I got to see him, and it was the first time I saw anybody that was running for president. And
that was right after they'd had the convention. He was on his way.
Well, they were actually getting ready to go to Houston, Texas. He was going to meet the next night the Protestant ministers and give probably one of the most important speeches on separation church and state, and why, you know, a Catholic shouldn't be prohibited from being president of the United States.
That was a big deal.
And it was a big deal. And so it was a big speech, and he was here in El Paso. He gives, I was very impressed. Came back in 63, got to see him again just a few months before he was killed in Dallas.
I sat on the curb at Alta Vista School in Montana.
Yeah.
Watching him go by. Where were you?
We were again at the airport.
Oh, back out there.
Yeah. Well, so when he arrived in the helicopter, and so anyway, it was really neat, and that kind of inspired me. And then later, of course, we saw Lyndon Johnson when Johnson came in 64 on the Chamisaw.
That was a big deal.
And that was big. I mean, they let school out that day, and there was hundreds of thousands of people lining all the streets all over El Paso.
Well, you've been you're a native El Paso kid, right?
Well, I wasn't born here, but I've lived here since I was about 7, 8 years old.
So you know as in your heart what this place is about.
Oh,
but
yeah.
You probably didn't know in your head what the history was, because did you go to public school?
Went to public school, but okay. They didn't teach much about El Paso.
They don't.
You know, they teach about the Alamo and, you know, that kind of stuff, but they didn't give you much about El Paso history.
Well, that's one reason we do what we do, because there's so much history. It just blows my mind that that everybody who hears what's gone on here can be an ambassador of El Paso to the world, because once you can talk about what happened here, like, okay, we had Pancho Villa. No, you didn't, whoever you are. We had him as a guy walking the streets, et cetera. But let's focus back on Judge Thomason, because that's the idea this hour, right, is to take apart and put back together his career, because he was a very unusual guy. And we just heard Melissa's history moment about Hudspeth. Hudspeth was a big deal. He got the next county over named after him.
That's right.
County.
In fact, when I've been judge and presiding in Hudspeth County, the portrait of him is over the district court bench there in Hudspeth County, the only adobe courthouse, I believe, still functioning as a courthouse in Texas.
But another overachiever, so to speak, let's say an ultimate achiever, would have been Thomason.
Right. In fact, Thomason is the man who succeeds Hudspeth as U.S. Congressman in the 16th District of Texas.
Which included that county.
Right. And in fact, the 16th District was the largest district in the United States.
Square footage wise.
I mean, it was huge.
Yeah.
It went all the way to Fredericksburg.
Oh, my.
It went to San Angelo. It went, it went to the outskirts of San Antonio, basically.
It was
39 counties.
It was so big because of the population was so sparse. And just to fill in one blank, the Catholics had the same problem with their diocese. It used to encompass all of that plus southern New Mexico, the first third of New Mexico. So can you imagine that bishop trying to cover that? Same kind of problem. It's just too much territory.
It was huge. And, I mean, it was larger than 4 or 5 states.
Yeah. But Thomason was an unusual guy. He was in the law firm with Tom Lee Sr.
Yes. When he came to El Paso, and I believe in about 1912, and made El Paso his home, he was with Tom Lee Sr. and Mr. McGrady or someone like that, and they had a very lucrative and a very good law firm. Tom Lee Sr. was persuaded, because there was this, you know, I think there's a history of the ring and this corrupt politics that had been going on in
ring,
El Paso.
Yes.
And so, you know, there was the issue of corruption, and the new guys, the progressives, and Tom Lee Sr. was part of that. You know, was wanting to get rid of that image for El Paso.
1910, that era?
Yeah, right about in there.
Somewhere in there?
Right about 19. That started about 1912, and then they finally convinced, I think, Tom Lee Sr. to run for mayor. And they start these tickets where everybody kind of goes together and you run together. And they convinced Thomason to run for the State House of Representatives as part of this thing. And
take another swig of that whiskey there. It's actually a Coca-Cola.
Yeah. It looks like a diet.
But we didn't see what he put
whiskey
in it.
Whiskey and Coke.
Now, he's
yeah,
a judge. Yeah. I'm not going to mess with this guy, because he can remind you later of what you said.
But he can also fix tickets.
And I'll bet you have a pretty good memory, too. I mean, isn't that helpful to have a good memory if you're a judge?
Well, it does help, yes.
You have a question or thought?
Well, I want to kind of diverse. You were going back to saying Hudspeth had the county building, had his picture in there. Well, also you had Thomason. He has the federal building named after him, and the federal building and courthouse, and he also has a hospital named after him.
Well, he did.
So he outdid Hudspeth on that.
Right. Well, because he was the major political figure in El Paso for decades.
Go back to that list. He was the mayor. He was the congressman.
Right.
He was what else?
He was state representative.
There you go.
And when he was state representative, he had the unique experience of being elected in only his second term, I believe in 1919. 1920, the 100 years ago, Speaker of the Texas House of Representatives. The only time in El Paso one has ever served in that position. Only time in El Paso one has ever held any real statewide office. That's it. One time, Ewing Thomason. Only man that's ever been able to do it.
Now, there's somebody in the state Senate who is like the second pro tem or something like that?
I think it was in the State House right now.
Yeah
I think somebody we know.
Yeah, I think Joe Moody's over
Joe
there.
Joe Moody.
There you go.
I was just going to say.
Same name, but it's your son.
I think, yes, I do remember.
Oh, there you go. So, hey, you never know.
Proud Papa.
It could happen, and this is a strange world here. Why not? But the thing about Thomason, he influenced quite a bit of stuff. We talked about him in the first hour about the Jinx trial and how that occurred in his court in El Paso. And Ray Caballero with the book said it was because that was where a labor relations board had an office here in El Paso, apparently. But otherwise, right. that whole case was stuff in northern New Mexico and Arizona. And
yeah, most of the action took place in other places. But the trial actually took place here, and Thomason presided over it.
And that set the precedents that we're now talking about are on every trial across the country.
Well, the trials I still try today, where the state has to disclose its evidence against the defendant.
Well, think about that for a minute.
Before they could hold it and never tell you about it, and sometimes it was even favorable to the defendant.
But they wouldn't release it.
They wouldn't release it.
Because it would help the other side.
Right.
How screwed up is that?
That seems to kind of run contrary to trying to find the truth.
Exactly.
Okay.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. That's nuts.
I mean, you've seen it today. I mean, there's not that long ago in Texas where we had a death row inmate or a person been in prison for a long time, and evidence had been withheld. And, you know, now they made them release it, and it turned out the guy was innocent.
So. What happens if a prosecutor or a somebody withholds information that they know later found out that they did have? What happens to that guy?
That can be some serious repercussions today.
Contempt of court or what?
I mean, not just reversing the case and freeing the defendant, but the prosecutors can face criminal actions.
That's what I was wondering. So it's a big deal now.
Yeah, it's...
And once upon a time, it was just nobody cared. I mean, they didn't do anything about it.
Nobody knew about it.
Oh.
Because you could have evidence that would be favorable to one side or the other, and the prosecutor could sit there independently and say, well, I don't really think it's that helpful. But if the defense attorney developed it, it might be helpful, or they just wouldn't pursue it.
Let's talk a bit more about Thomason, because Thomason did have a hospital named after him.
Oh, yeah.
And they now have a memory room or something, a wall, I think, in that new medical center to commemorate his history. But everybody went to Thomason Hospital. That was a big deal. And now it's called University Medical Center, I believe, right?
Yes.
Okay, so he lost the name there, but he picked it up on the courthouse.
Well, they named the old courthouse that he actually presided in, which is across from our state courthouse, the R.E. Thomason Federal Building.
Federal Building, okay.
And so I think that's where they have the actual U.S. courthouse is now about a half a block away.
And it's named for somebody else, I think.
Right, Armendariz.
That's what I thought. Okay, and we're talking to Judge Bill Moody here. We have a caller named Roy. Roy, you got on the radio here. What's up, dude?
Not too much. You brought up the name Hudspeth. And in my lifetime, I remember the guy named Harry Lee Hudspeth. What was he?
He was federal district judge in El Paso. In fact, he was one of the judges that succeeds Thomason in what we call the El Paso bench.
But he was related, right?
I don't, you know, no, that I'm not
I think
sure.
He was.
But I know that he had practiced law here in El Paso, and I think he was a federal prosecutor even before that, before he was a federal judge.
I know him as a Sunday school teacher.
And then he retired as a judge and became senior judge. I think he went to Austin and did some senior work there. I don't know if he's still.
We're not convinced, Roy, that he may have been. We think he was related. That's an unusual name.
Yeah, that's why I call. So, anyway.
All right. See you, Pepe's. Pepe's? You can make it to Pepe's? Oh, he hung up. I'm going to go to Pepe's. Heck with him. And if you can make it to Pepe's, Judge, we'll buy you lunch out there. But the thing is, the whole history of El Paso is intertwined with some major figures, and Thomason has always loomed large.
Oh, he was a massive figure. I mean, first he serves as Speaker of the Texas House. And in fact, he got that position. It's very unusual to become Speaker in only your second term.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a very junior member. But another member of the House, a man, Lyndon Johnson's father, was one of the people that helped him become Speaker of the House. And that's how there eventually becomes a connection between Lyndon Johnson and R.E. Thomason. In fact, Lyndon Johnson later writes, when he goes to Washington as an aide to, I think, Congressman Kleberg, the first person he goes to see is actually Ewing Thomason.
Uh-huh.
And because his dad said, go see him, you know, because he knew him. And they knew each other. And so, in fact, there's a great story about President Johnson and Huey Thomason. They were longtime friends. And if on, I believe it was Thomason's 92nd birthday, Lyndon Johnson had left the White House. He was no longer president, and I believe it would have been about 1970, 71, somewhere in there. He comes to El Paso, a surprise visit on Thomason's birthday, flies his own private jet thing to El Paso, shows up unannounced at Thomason's home.
Oh, my.
Happy birthday.
With a few Secret Service in tow, no doubt.
Yeah, there was some Secret Service that came with him. But, I mean, it was like, what an unusual event.
Yeah.
And it was a surprise visit, and it was actually the last time Lyndon Johnson ever came to El Paso.
I'll be done. We got a call.
Are
we
gonna?
And in fact, he visited right there at the house on Stanton Street. I believe 1918 Stanton is the Thomason home. When Thomason was alive, he could show you the chairs that John F. Kennedy and Lyndon Johnson sat in together in 1960 when they came to visit him at his own home.
There's some history. Hey, we got a call here named Prince. Prince, you're on the radio. What's up, dude?
Hello there. I've got a question. I've always enjoyed the judge's studies of history, and he has added a lot to the history of El Paso. But I wanted to ask, and perhaps he's already mentioned this, but I wanted to learn about the history of Hudspeth County, how El Paso County, I understand El Paso County was divided, and then Hudspeth County was created, and what is that relationship?
Okay, what
you're standing inside of a jet engine, man. What are you doing?
Okay, here's what happened. El Paso County was a very large county. It encompassed what not only is Hudspeth County, but also Culberson County.
Yeah,
all three of them were El Paso County.
Oh my!
Prior to 1900, and I think somewhere around 1907, 1911. 1905. I'm not sure the exact year. And that was the 34th district, because I know because I'm the judge of the 34th district court, the oldest court in El Paso County.
34 districts in Texas. That's what that means?
Yes.
Okay.
It's the 34th district court. Well, anyway, then they divided El Paso County into two counties. They divided into, I believe it was El Paso, and then they made Culberson County. And then later, they made Hudspeth County. And so Hudspeth County then became its own county and the county seat at Sierra Blanca. But still, the judge of the 34th Court presided over Hudspeth and Culberson County.
Oh, you still have all that?
And I had all of that for years. God, when I first became judge, I would go down and what you'd say, ride circuit, and not like in the old days when you'd ride a horse.
Yeah.
I would drive the car, but it's a long drive. And I
actually walked that once. That's another story.
When I walked all the way across Texas. Another story. But no, that's the connection that Hudspeth County was part of El Paso County for most, for all the 1800s and into the very early part of the 1900s.
Put the old Prince back up there. He's got something else to say. What's that? What else is on your mind, Prince?
Well, you might have already talked about it, but, at the beginning of this week, we had 7,500 people that came out to see the Union Pacific Big Boy locomotive.
That was special. It really was.
Oh, that was something else.
Did you get a ride on it?
No, we didn't. They gave rides in California, and they got overwhelmed.
Oh, I bet. That's fascinating.
They decided not to do it here, and it's now on its way to San Antonio.
Yeah.
And so,
where are you? Are you walking in traffic? Are you in the middle of I-10 walking around? What are you doing there? Dude, it's a lot of noise.
What did we do there?
No, you sound like you're in a very noisy place.
Oh.
But thank you for letting us know about the train. We're going to move on here unless you got something pressing you've got to tell us.
About Hudspeth County. That's really interesting.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, thanks a lot for calling up here. Wherever he was, I think
he was driving.
Well, shut the window. Good God. I mean,
he's in his truck. It's real noisy.
Oh, my. Anyway, moving on from that, we got to take a break.
No, it was interesting. I've presided over trials in Hudspeth County, and they had the old stove in there, and you'd have
really?
To put the coal in it and at one time. And
how recently was that?
It's probably been about 25 years ago.
Okay, so they may have new coal
No, I think they've got electrical
heaters. New coal
but
is coming.
But it is still, I believe, the only active adobe courthouse in Texas.
Oh, my.
And so it is a really neat place to try a case. I tried them in Van Horn, too. In fact, I tried Charles Harrelson in Van Horn.
Did you feel like...
I was involved in the prosecution.
Woody Harrelson's father.
Did you feel like Judge Roy Bean when you were there?
No, it was his son.
His son.
Right.
Yeah.
On the part of the Judge Wood case.
That's another subject, I guess, if you felt like Judge Roy Bean while you were in an Adobe court. That's another subject. Let's put ourselves on hold for a moment. We got to take a break here and come back and do some more of this stuff. But in the meantime, we got to do trivia.
Yes, we do.
You got more. They're still outstanding from...
nobody's...
nobody got any of that stuff.
They're all afraid of going to jail.
Well, now we got the judge sitting
here. That's right,
It could happen. What else you got?
Okay.
Second one. What building?
The first one was, what building in downtown El Paso is named for R.E.? Judge R.E. Thomason.
There's a building downtown named for him.
Yes, and then the second one.
And we made
a
distinction which one it was. It wasn't the one I thought it was. It's a different one, so you better be careful. Ha ha. And the judge knows. He's sitting here.
Okay.
You know what? He'll be the judge. You watch.
And what was the name of the original? I didn't hear that one, I guess. I'll have to answer that one. What was the name of the original name of UMC Medical Center?
I think I know that one.
Yeah, I think we can figure
and
that
you
one.
You get what by answering these questions?
You get a $20 gift certificate to Amigos a $20 gift certificate to Mission Del Rey Southwest.
Good stuff. By the way, they're at the Christmas fair today, Mission Del Rey.
Yes, they're going to be out there.
And we had
a
great time with them out at Pepe's last Saturday. That
and
was
we
a lot
were great
of fun.
When they were on the show. It was a lot of fun, too.
It was a hoot what he was talking about, the Tarahumara background.
Oh, we need to have him back. He's
and
got
also,
a lot more information.
Before we go to break, I want to thank the crowd in the control room.
Yes.
Shelly is actually answering telephones today
and she
dealing
is.
With things. Shelly Sutherland, thank
He's
you very much.
He's doing a good job.
And the other guy in there who's pushing electrons out the door is
Sergio Valenzuela.
It's like he scored a goal. There he is. And he always has a crowd in there helping him out.
That's right.
So we'll take a break here, but you got to call us if you want those prizes.
915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Amigos, 2000 Montana Avenue, one block east of Cotton. Amigos Restaurant is the green building with free parking. Amigos serves breakfast and lunch 7 days a week and dinner Tuesday through Sunday. Great Mexican food, steaks, chicken, and salads with draft beer and margaritas by the pitcher at Amigos Full Bar. Amigos has private dining rooms for parties and meetings. Get ready, get hungry, we're cooking at Amigos, 2000 Montana Avenue, 533-0155. Amigos.
Visit Mission Del Rey Southwest for a huge selection of El Paso souvenirs and gifts. Mission Del Rey features El Paso saddle blanket products and thousands of Southwest, Western, Native American, and Mexico items for gifts and decor. Bring your friends and mention you heard us on the radio for a store-wide discount. Mission Del Rey Southwest, 1421 Lee Trevino, enter on Pelicano. Go to missiondelrey.com or call 915-440-2140 for Mission Del Rey Southwest.
Dazzleme.com is your home for upscale consignment jewelry and watches. Beautiful, one-of-a-kind, fine jewelry and watches at incredible prices. Unlike any other online site, Dazzleme.com lets you actually talk to the jeweler that evaluated the piece. Internet pricing with brick-and-mortar security. Take a look. It's free. Dazzleme.com.
I'm Nick Sobolewski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I shopped the many highly rated term life insurance companies we represent, like Prudential and Mutual of Omaha, and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $27 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 800-589-5599. That's 800-589-5599. 800-589-5599. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by EPHistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. by Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. And by Amigos Restaurant, 2000 Montana, a block east of Cotton, open 7 days a week. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
We are back here. We got Sally on hold. Sally, don't go anywhere. We'll talk to you. But we got to let you know a couple of things. November the 9th coming in, retired State Representative Joe Pickett. He will be our guest. We're going to ask him about his history of legislation in Austin on behalf of El Paso and what he recalls as significant to our history. And he has seen and made a lot of El Paso history. We'll talk to him about all that. November 16th, Troy Ainsworth showing up for a discussion about historic preservation in Las Cruces. He is the officer of that in that city. And what's going on with a Trost-designed building at an old country club in Las Cruces? It's earmarked for destruction. November 23, Cindy Medina is back. She's bringing author Phil Stover. He'll be here. And he's got a series on the religious history of Mexico. And it's all about the Anglo, especially U.S. religious intervention in northern Mexico. And from the U.S. and Canada, all kinds of things happen. He's got two books, The Search for the Soul of Mexico, Religion and Revolution. And now in print, a new one, The Search for the Soul of Mexico, The Anglo Quest for Naboth's Vineyard. I don't have any idea what that is, but we'll find out. November 30th, McGoffin Homes coming in, have a merry holiday open house. And we got Bernie Sargent coming back. Finally, we're getting back. He's been too busy on Saturdays,
that boy. Tell me about it.
So what else you got going on? You got stuff?
Well, Election Day is coming Tuesday, November 5th from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. We are beyond early voting. Proposition 5, sporting good taxes to support state parks. Proposition 5 is the constitutional amendment dedicating the revenue received from existing state sales and use taxes that are imposed on sporting goods to the Texas Parks and Wildlife Department and the Texas Historical Commission to protect Texas natural areas, water quality, and history by acquiring, managing, and improving state, local parks, and historic sites, while not increasing the rate of the state sales tax and use taxes. Get out there and vote for that, because that'll definitely help us.
Whatever you said, vote yes.
Yes, whatever.
Okay.
But number 5,
Let's go to Sally. We finally got you on the phone. Thank you for coming back here. What's up on your mind?
Well, I just wanted you to know that I had the pleasure of meeting Thompson, Representative Thompson.
What was he like?
Well, you know, he was walking. He had given a speech at the El Paso High School, and it was close to, 3:30. He was walking home, and I was walking right behind him because he lived on Nevada Street. So I spoke to him, and we visited for a while. I told him, about my life, and he told me that he was already in Congress. I'm not sure. But that was he lived on Nevada Street, like I said, and we lived on Yandell. But anyway, he was very, very gracious, and I had that pleasure of meeting him.
Well, that's
great.
That
was what I wanted to tell you.
Well, thank you for sharing that with us. Appreciate it.
You're certainly welcome.
Thanks for calling. You take
it easy. Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye. And at 544-5876, we got trivia hanging out there. I guess these people don't want the free food. Amigos has incredible free food.
That's
no, they
right.
don't. It's not free. You say free around Hookie, he goes ballistic.
But
he charges for it, but it's worth it.
But if you call in here and you answer the questions,
you'll get some free food.
You'll get some free food.
And we'll call it a coupon for $20.
Or free goodies over at Mission Del Rey Southwest if you call in and answer a question.
There's a combination right there that are really, really good advertisers, and they're good products.
And they're easy questions. I mean, you can look these up online. What building in downtown El Paso is named for R.E. Thomason?
There's one.
And what was the original name of UMC Medical Center? That's an easy one because I still call it that.
I do, too. It is what it is.
And everybody looks at me and goes, that's not what it is.
That's what it is. It used to be. So.
It's the same place.
Judge Bill Moody is here, and we've been talking about Thomason. You had a story you told off the air. I said, make sure you remember. What was it?
Well, there's a couple of them that I think are really good. One of them is about Thomason and his time in Congress. When he was congressman, when he first came to Congress, the Texas delegation stayed close together, and John Nance Garner was about to be Speaker of the House, but it was going to be kind of close. And he relied on Thomason because he'd known him from back when they were in the legislature in the House of Representatives back,
In
Texas in the 1918, 1920, and now it's 1932. Thomason gets elected, and he comes to Washington. Lo and behold, Garner wins the speakership, and Garner says, usually you get put on a committee like to look after the affairs of deceased members of Congress and yes, nothing job.
A non-committee committee.
However, I'm going to put you, because I really trust you and you're, I like you, I'm putting you on what would now be called the House Armed Services Committee, one of the premier committees in the House.
Well, he represents Fort Bliss. That's a good thing to have happen.
Right. In fact, because Representative Wurzbach, who, if you've ever been down to San Antonio, Wurzbach, the highway it all is named after,
mm-hmm. okay,
was the Texas representative on that committee. Texas had him represent the San Antonio. The reason why San Antonio had all Fort Sam Houston and all these things is their representative always sat on the House Armed Services Committee in the U.S. Congress since Texas became a state. Garner switches that from the San Antonio seat when Wurzbach dies and puts Thomason on that committee. Fort Bliss, I wonder why it continued to grow after that.
It shook up a few things. Yeah.
So he was really great. But he became eventually the second ranking member on the House Armed Services Committee during, and of course, then World War II comes in. And now it's a really important committee.
Oh, it very much is.
I mean, this is how to decide the war. And the major bill that's going to come before it, which is almost a secret bill, is how are we going to develop the atom bomb and not tell anybody? And so the Speaker of the House now is Sam Rayburn, another Texan.
Right.
They can't trust the chairman because he's an alcoholic and he has a lot of problems.
Seriously.
And so Thomason kind of runs the House Armed Services Committee.
Oh.
And he gets in on the secret. This has got to go through the committee like that. And it's how much? $1 billion. In those days, in World War II, I mean, I don't know what $1 billion would be to back
Big
then.
Big money even now, yeah.
I mean, that was huge. But it was the critical piece to win the war. And Thomason knows about it. Rayburn knows about it. The president knows about it. I think possibly a couple of members in the U.S. Senate, and that's it.
Wow.
Not even the vice president of the United States knows about it. Harry Truman didn't know about the bomb.
So this was a big deal. And Thomason was in
on it. And Thomason gets the House to say, they vote, the committee hearing, boom. It goes right out of committee, and it goes right to the floor of the House. The Speaker gavels it through, and they just spent $1 billion on something.
We don't, at the time, know what it was.
And nobody knew what it was.
This is Judge Bill Moody here. We do have some trivia people now calling up.
Ah.
We got a lot of prizes here, so let's talk to Gary. Gary, what's on your mind this morning?
Well, two things. I think it's the question to the hospital is now U.S. Medical Center.
Is that the question?
The question was...
Well, I don't know if that was the question or the answer.
Okay. What was the name, the original name of...
UMC.
UMC. What was the
Thomason.
Yeah, yeah,
there
yeah.
you go. You
Thomason
got
General Hospital.
Yeah, I was like, U.S. Hospital?
Well, you know... But
no, you had... Yeah, you've
forever,
got it correct.
It was Thomason. So, you got that one.
Okay,
right.
So you have a choice. Did you want the Amigos or did you want the...
Mission
the
Del
gifts,
Rey.
Gifts, Mission Del Rey.
Let's do Amigos. I'll go Bug.
Hookie. Oh, there you go. Okay, great.
Hookie. He's Captain Hookie to me.
Hookie.
All right.
Hookie.
I call him Captain Hookie. It seems to fit. All right, Gary, thanks for playing. Hold on if you don't mind.
Well, I'd like to have one other thing.
Sure, go ahead.
I believe that Judge Moody will go down in history as one of the better judges in this county ever.
I think so.
Well, we hope so.
He agrees with you. All right, well, thank you for saying that. Please hold on, all right?
He's still got to go down. He's still got to go down as a cook for a cattle run. There we go.
All right, hold on. Now. You got Gary on line one. He gets Amigo. Oh, we got three. Three is George. George, what's up?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Doing fine, George. You got an answer for the first question?
Which is?
I had an answer to the first question, but they beat me to it.
Well,
and
no,
I
no.
I have a comment to make.
Okay.
I volunteer at one of the three museums that we have in San Elizario, and on Tuesdays I volunteer at the old El Paso County Jail. And basically all we have there are maps, but one of the most interesting maps that we have there over by itself is the 1850 map of Texas.
Oh, yeah.
In 1850 is when El Paso County was established.
Right, that's when El Paso County was formed.
Yes, when it was formed, and it stretched all the way from the bottom of the state of New Mexico all the way down to the Mexican border. There were three real big counties at that time, and one of them was El Paso County.
Right.
And since most of the people lived in the valley, they made San Elizario the county seat.
Yes, they did.
And at that time, they took two big iron jail cells that are in a museum there. And one of the things that I didn't know that I was glad to hear this morning was that El Paso was first divided into El Paso and Culberson, and then it divided into three parts.
Right.
El Paso, Culberson, and
Hudspeth.
HUS. I didn't write the whole name of
Hudspeth.
That
Hudspeth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not very familiar with the judges, so I've been picking up as much as I can from their discussion. So a very interesting show.
Thank you, sir. There'll be a test in San Eli tomorrow.
All righty.
Thanks for calling.
We'll see you guys.
All right. Thank you.
Take care,
George. You take it easy. And we have a coupon to Mission Del Rey, which I should give to the judge maybe. Would you be interested in something like that?
Well, I'm always interested.
Okay, so the judge just won a coupon.
It's not even a
to
bribe.
Mission Del Rey. No, he got nothing on me. I'm not before his. If I ever went in your courtroom as a whatever, I couldn't do anything because we know each other. I'd have to kick me out, right?
At least.
Yeah, okay, there you go. Well, we're taking a break here. Coming back, because Sergio needs to sell some more soap in there,
That's right.
Yeah, of course he does. And if you want to call us, talk to Judge Moody. The phone number, do you have Facebook, by the way?
I've got up our guests the first hour. So I've got former Mayor Ray Caballero, an author. I've got him up with his two books.
Okay.
And then we will have Judge Moody up shortly.
Call us anyway.
915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Haul packages for a living? A gas-powered Mercedes-Benz Sprinter delivers. Transport people? A Sprinter van with 0% financing is a 5-star idea. If food delivery is your thing, then a gas Sprinter caters to you. And if you're a general contractor, the Sprinter with 0% financing nails it. With innovation, safety, and technology, Sprinter is built for you. And it's built for your bottom line with 0% financing. The Mercedes-Benz Sprinter, starting at just $33,790. And for a limited time with IRS Section 179, you could be eligible for up to a $25,000 tax deduction. Gas engine, 0% financing, and a possible tax deduction? Now that's a Sprinter that delivers. Mercedes-Benz. Vans. Born to run.
MSRP excludes all options, taxes, title, registration, transportation, charge, and dealer prep fee. Options, model availability, and actual dealer price may vary. See dealer for details about costs and terms. Only valid on 2018 or 2019 Mercedes-Benz Sprinter vans, excluding cab chassis. Qualified commercial customers only. Financing offer valid through January 2nd, 2020. Consult your tax advisor. For more information, limits may apply. Visit mbvans.com.
Warning. If you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $10,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For a free estimate on how much money we could save you, call 1-800-900-0507. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible, without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For your free 5-minute savings estimate, call now, 1-800-900-0507. That's 1-800-900-0507. 1-800-900-0507.
Buttons. They make things a lot easier. Crossing a busy street.
Hey, watch it, buddy.
A button helps you live to tell about it. Opening your garage. Easy, thanks to a button. Now, if you have sleep apnea and couldn't sleep with a CPAP, relief and a good night's sleep is now just the click of a button away. It's called Inspire. Inspire is a sleep apnea treatment that works inside the body with one click of a remote. That's right, just a button. Inspire is a small device implanted in a same-day outpatient procedure. Simply click the button on the Inspire remote before you fall asleep. As you sleep, Inspire keeps you breathing normally and sleeping peacefully. No mask, no hose, just sleep. If you're struggling with CPAP, great sleep awaits at inspiresleep.com. That's inspiresleep.com. Inspire. Sleep apnea innovation. No mask, no hose, just sleep.
Talk to your doctor to see if Inspire is right for you and review important safety information at inspiresleep.com.
El Paso History TV is now available for free on YouTube.com. Take a look at recent ABC 7 news reports by Bernie Sargent on El Paso History TV about Waco tanks, the Franklin Mountains, Concordia Cemetery, and more. The YouTube channel also has more than 100 videos about El Paso history with lectures, documentaries, and various history clips. Go to youtube.com/El Paso History TV and find out how Texas history begins in El Paso.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by ephistory.com, Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive, by Monterey Asset Management, by Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping, by Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. And by Amigos Restaurant, 2000 Montana, a block east of Cotton, open 7 days a week. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
We got El Paso Inc. coming up here because we're going to tell you right now what's going on this week only in El Paso Inc.
Inside the effort to revive Sunland Park Mall, new general manager with new ideas shares her plan.
Also in the Inc., charcoal frappes and CBD-infused drinks. How El Paso's coffee shops are upping their game.
El Paso's Business Journal, El Paso Inc., is available for home and business delivery. To read El Paso Inc. and to order your subscription, go online to elpasoinc.com.
Sunday night on ABC 7 Extra, J.P. Bryan was in a live discussion with Mayor DeMargo. It was recorded by ABC 7 Extra, and Saul Sines is moderating. The subject is the future of Durangito as an historic old El Paso area or an arena for the city.
Guest host Saul Sines talks with J.P. Bryan and Mayor DeMargo Sunday night at 10:35 p.m. right after the news.
That's going to be most interesting.
I'd love to have seen that. Yeah.
Well, it's going to happen on Sunday night because they've already recorded it, apparently.
Yeah.
Okay, going into the phones here, we have a trivia caller. Is this Robert?
Yes, it is.
Okay, Robert, your chance here at some question.
Okay, the first one was, what building in downtown El Paso is named for R.E. Thomason?
Oh, I was thinking of, I didn't hear anybody answer the questions for the Pepe's on the Jinx trial.
Well, we can do that one. How's
you
that?
You want to go backwards. Okay, go.
Okay. Go ahead.
R.E. Thomason presided over the trial.
You got it.
That was a question in the first hour?
That was the first hour. He
what
can
was
go
the question?
For that one. The question was, who was the judge to preside over the Clinton Jinx trial?
Oh, well, yeah.
He even said it. He knew the question.
Even
so.
Better. Okay.
It was R.E. Thomas.
Yeah,
so
I could have even answered the second one because he resigned. He resigned from the Communist Party.
That's it.
That's right.
Well,
see,
where was your last hour? God, I'm glad you showed up because you know why?
Why is that?
You get a Pepe certificate.
There you go.
That sounds great.
Have you been there before?
Actually, my dad used to sell meats and cheeses to all the restaurants, and he used to sell the Griggs restaurant.
Oh, but this is Pepe's.
He knew John Duke and Blacks and all those. He used to run those restaurants.
Oh, yeah. Well, Pepe and his wife, Lorena, were working. Your dad probably knew them. They worked for Griggs. They worked
forever
for Duke.
Ever.
They worked for all and they now run this place. So thank you for ringing up. Hold on, Shelly, I'll tell you to pick up that coupon, all right?
All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks for playing. Hold on there. We got a coupon for the guy on the phone here. Way to go. Okay.
Hey, it answered both questions.
Indeed.
Jeez.
Well, we got Judge Moody here for a few more minutes. Judge, the idea we were talking about during the break, you have a book here that's got all kinds of stuff in it.
Oh, yeah. This is a great book. This is called Thomason, The Autobiography of a Federal Judge, edited and annotated by Joseph M. Ray. Joseph M. Ray was the president of the University of Texas at El Paso.
Yeah, he was the president.
And I actually took a couple of courses from him when I was going to UTEP when I was getting my degree in government. And so he was a great historian. He was a great man. And, in fact, I actually got to meet Ewing Thomason through Joseph Ray. Thomason was actually at the hospital he was near the end of his life. He was in his 90s and about 72, 73.
Oh, so he was a patient.
He was a patient. And we came by, and I was with Dr. Ray, and I was working with him on some things. He said, I've got to go by the hospital and talk with Mr. Thomason, or Judge Thomason, and would you like to come with me? And I said, yes, because I knew he'd published this book in 71 when I was taking classes from him. And so I got to meet Judge Thomas. Well, he was still, you know, mentally he was fine, and he was very gracious even, you know, in the hospital.
Was it his hospital?
It was not. It was actually the Providence Hospital.
Another hospital.
He was in Providence Hospital, right, which was close to his home. See, he lived at 1918 North Stanton Street. Uh-huh. You can still see the house. It's there.
And the lady said he was on Nevada. I bet that's...
That was when he was congressman. He lived... But he moved, I think when he was judge is when he got the nicer home.
Oh, I see.
Because that was he finally had a lot of, he got enough money.
He moved up the street a little
moved
bit.
Moved up the street a little.
All right, we're going to take one more break here, come back with Bill Moody. I'm sorry, we got there's a lot going on in here.
Of course.
It's not always what you think it's going to be.
No, it isn't.
But in the meantime, we shall take a break. Sergio, you need one more break? 3, 2, 1, go.
Amigos, 2000 Montana Avenue, one block east of Cotton. Amigos Restaurant is the green building with free parking. Amigos serves breakfast and lunch 7 days a week and dinner Tuesday through Sunday. Great Mexican food, steaks, chicken, and salads with draft beer and margaritas by the pitcher at Amigos Full Bar. Amigos has private dining rooms for parties and meetings. Get ready, get hungry, we're cooking at Amigos, 2000 Montana Avenue, 533-0155. Amigos.
Visit Mission Del Rey Southwest for a huge selection of El Paso souvenirs and gifts. Mission Del Rey features El Paso saddle blanket products and thousands of Southwest, Western, Native American, and Mexico items for gifts and decor. Bring your friends and mention you heard us on the radio for a store-wide discount. Mission Del Rey Southwest, 1421 Lee Trevino, enter on Pelicano. Go to missiondelrey.com or call 915-440-2140 for Mission Del Rey Southwest.
Indeed, used by over 3 million businesses for hiring, where business owners and HR professionals can post job openings with screener questions, then sort, review, and communicate with candidates from an online dashboard. Learn more at Indeed.com/hire.
Prescription products require an online physician consultation and are only available if the physician determines a prescription is appropriate. Subscription required. See website for full details and important safety information.
Hey guys, good news. The outrageously expensive little blue pill is now generic, which means you can get the prescription medication to treat ED at affordable prices. And Hims makes it extra affordable. And right now, get your first online visit totally free when you go to forhims.com/joy. Sure beats paying for an in-office doctor's appointment, doesn't it? Plus, you won't need to deal with awkward face-to-face conversations to get your prescription. Hims connects you to doctors online who can evaluate you and, if appropriate, prescribe the medication. And a pharmacy sends it right to your door. Hims makes it affordable, private, and incredibly easy. Nobody likes dealing with ED. Now, thanks to Hims, nobody has to. And that's really good news. To start your free online visit, you need to go to this exclusive address, forhims.com/joy. That's forhims.com/joy for your free online visit. forhims.com/joy.
What would you do if you won the lottery? Powerball and Mega Millions jackpots are high, and you can't win if you don't play. But who wants to wait in line for a ticket? At lottery.com, you can skip the line and play your favorite lottery games right from your phone. Never lose a ticket and never miss a jackpot. The lottery.com app is free, and you can cash out your winnings anytime. In just 2 taps, you could win the next multi-million dollar jackpot. Search for lottery.com in the App Store or go to lottery.com to learn more. Now sit back, relax, and play, and get some time back in your day. That's what we call winning together. This message was brought to you by Lottery.com. Please play responsibly.
Now that the weather's starting to cool down, I want you to be prepared by calling my friends at Cruz Heating and Cooling. They're locally owned and certified in Texas and New Mexico. Plus, they're certified dealers of American Standard Heating and Cooling Equipment. Financing available with approved credit. Give them a call at 929-0052. That's 929-0052.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by ephistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. And by Amigos Restaurant, 2000 Montana, a block east of Cotton, open 7 days a week. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Oh, a lot going on here. We got Amigos Restaurant this hour. We had Pepe's last hour. We've got the Mission Del Rey all over the place. And Judge Moody's still here with stories about Thomason and some major trials. He was in what?
Oh, he was in all kinds of trials. But I'd like to go into his judicial career a little bit, and that is, in 1955, there was a young woman named Thelma White, and she was applying to go into Texas Western College. She was African American. There were statutes and constitutional provisions in Texas that prohibited it had to be separate schools for African Americans and for whites. Mm. And so Ted Andrus actually argues in front of Judge Thomason, Judge, I've talked to the Board of Regents. They have said it's okay for her to go into Texas Western College. Her attorney said, that's not good enough. We want a ruling. Judge Thomason said, you're right. You're going to get a ruling. Those statutes and the constitutional provisions are struck down. She will be allowed to attend.
So he struck
Texas,
her down.
And so Texas Western College became the first college in the South that was allowed African-American students in.
That was big here.
I mean, see, it's 1955. That's before the 60s and all the civil rights movement. So he strikes that blow way before.
And it was Thomason.
Right. And it's just barely after 54, Brown versus Board of Education.
We
had the first hijacking case in El Paso where he presides over that, where a father and a son hijack an American Airlines plane flight out of Los Angeles, and they were going to take it to Cuba. And it was kind of a bizarre deal.
Need to get some gas to stop here.
Well, they convinced him, you better stop in El Paso. We don't have enough gas to get to Cuba. So they get him stopped here. They negotiate for 12 hours, and they finally get him to surrender. He's got his 16-year-old boy involved in it, and Thomason eventually lets the boy kind of get just a small sentence up till he was 17 or 18. But the dad was kind of goofy.
They locked him up?
They locked him up for quite a while.
That was a bizarre. I remember that event. It just took over the day here.
Oh, yeah. And it was
several days.
It made national television.
Oh, it was huge. And you want to give the conclusion on how they stopped the plane from leaving El Paso?
Oh, I don't have that.
The Border Patrol and the El Paso police went out and shot the tires out of the thing.
Oh, I mean, they just...
They couldn't take off.
Oh, okay.
They technically couldn't.
It was target practice.
Oh,
I remember...
They blew the airplane tires off.
I remember seeing, like, the television cameras of it when we were here in El Paso. And so it was very impressive.
It was a big deal. We got 10 seconds here, Judge.
We got the Billy Saul Estes case. He did that one, big case, where the television cameras were wired in the courtroom. And
that book you're quoting from?
And this is, of course, the book that I said mentioned before, Thomason, the autobiography of a federal judge. And I like the thing where he finally jokes about himself. If you've ever been in a federal court where you knock on the door, hear ye, and anyway, well,
read
I'm not
the book.
You'll have to get to that story.
Judge, I'm sorry, we're running out of time.
Great
Judge
story.
Moody, thank you very much for coming in, talk about Thomason. Everybody else, we'll see you next week on the History Show. Going to Pepe's.
See you at Concordia tonight.
Thank you. Take her easy. Thanks, Judge. Appreciate
thank
it.
You.
You take her easy.
Okay.
Thank you for listening to the El Paso History Show. We hope you'll join us again next Saturday morning, 10 to noon, and be sure to tell a friend about us. Brought to you by ephistory.com, the website for archived podcasts of this radio show, ephistory.com. And by Amigos Restaurant, 2000 Montana, a block east of Cotton, open 7 days a week with great Mexican food. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. By Monterey Asset Management. And by Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. Thank you for joining us from the studios of News Radio 690 KTSM AM El Paso.
Message and data rates may apply.
Guys, got hair loss? I know what you're thinking. Should I shave my head, comb it over, wear a hat?